You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
Jesus, doesn't the Bible say these people are an abomination?
Abomination?
Yeah, but you know, it says the exact same thing about this shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail?
Leviticus says shellfish is an abomination.
Abomination!
What else does the Bible say, Jesus?
The Bible says a lot of interesting things. Like you can stone your wife or sell your daughter into slavery.
Well, we ignore those verses.
Well, then, friend, it seems to me you pick and choose.
We pick and choose.
Well, please choose love instead of hate. Besides, your nation was built on separation of church and state.
See you later, sinners.
Bye, Jesus.
Just a little bit of a YouTube video that's making the rounds and has been for some weeks. Jack Black playing Jesus along with some other television stars and comedians. It's called Prop 8 the Musical. Well, Prop 8 was a constitutional amendment passed by California voters about a month and a half ago during the big election. It defined marriage in the California Constitution and in effect banned gay marriage in that state. How are those whose opposition to Prop 8 during that election cycle, when they found themselves defeated, how are they taking it? And what are these attempts to recreate Christianity in gay-friendly terms? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 10th of December. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can also email us with questions or comments as we talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse about attempts to recreate Christianity in gay-friendly terms for the first 10 minutes. Talk back at issuesetc.org. After our interview with Jen, we'll spend the rest of today's program talking about modes of baptism, sprinkling, immersion, some say no water necessary at all, with Dr. Andrew Das. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a regular guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years. At Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
So how are the opponents of Prop 8, who found themselves defeated in the last election on this constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, how are they taking defeat?
Well, they're being sore losers. Actually, that little clip that you played is about the best, most good-natured thing I've heard out of them since November the 4th. A lot of what they've done has been downright mean, and you know, if you want to talk about somebody being hate-filled, my goodness, they've been going around targeting donors to Prop 8, people who contributed to Prop 8, and giving them a hard time. And I recently heard about somebody who had given $100, a $100 contribution. Some gay activists did not just go to her. They went to her employer and tried to get her fired from her job. And she did not back down from and did not apologize for her contribution, but she did, I think, leave her job. So, you know, the tactics are strong-armed, not friendly, not inclusive at all, shall we say. Really, really sore loser type of tactics.
Okay, what about the attempt? I'm thinking here about Lisa Miller's Newsweek magazine cover story that's been talked a lot about. We talked about it earlier this week and elsewhere in the press, and a new gay Bible, things like that. These attempts to recast Christianity as not just neutral, but favorable toward homosexuality.
Well, I think it's a very interesting kind of move that they're making, because on one hand, you're hearing them say, as you just heard in the little singing clip there, separation of church and state, religion shouldn't have anything to do with it. But at the same time, what they're doing is trying to capture the moral authority of Christianity and turn it towards their purpose. So they recognize, in a certain sense, that Christianity does still have some moral authority, does still have some cachet with certain people, so they're trying to redefine the Bible in ways that that favor them. So it's kind of a schizophrenic position, you might say. You know, do you care about the Bible or not care about the Bible? It's almost hard to believe that they're serious in actually believing that the Bible says what they say it says. It's more like an attempt to disarm the Christian believers, and Jewish believers for that matter, who are among those who resist the full speed ahead gay agenda.
What did you make of Lisa Miller's, and she's the religion editor for Newsweek magazine, her cover story on gay marriage in the Bible?
Well, it's a stretch. Let's just put it that way. I mean, it's a bit of a stretch to redefine the scripture on the basis of a handful of things and some great reinterpretations to say that the traditional teaching that has always been there, somehow they've been mistaken all this time, and only the day before yesterday have we figured out that we have the one true answer. I mean, for example, the fact that Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuality doesn't mean anything one way or the other. I mean, this is something that was abhorrent to every Jew of his time. He would not have needed to say anything about it. You know, he didn't bring it up because it wasn't necessary to bring it up. I mean, if you think about Jewish practice in the period of the Roman Empire, now the Jews were very particular about their sexual practices in comparison with the whole rest of the Mediterranean basin, which pretty much let her rip and do whatever they wanted, you know. And the Jewish community had been a standout all along, and Jesus was right within that trend, you know. I mean, if Jesus was going to side with the Greeks, I would think he would have said so, you know. But the whole Jewish tradition was really quite specific about the place of sexuality, about the place of marriage, and about, in fact, gender and the significance of gender.
Well, I'm wondering if all of this might be something of a distraction, Jen, and that is there is a real, at least at this point, a real legal challenge being made to the passage of Prop 8. What does it look like, and does it have a possibility of getting some traction?
Well, the legal challenge is that the proponents of the same-sex marriage proponents are saying that the Proposition 8 is really a revision to the Constitution of California, not merely an amendment. If it's a revision, it needs to come through a legislative process. It needs to be initiated by the legislature, and only then dealt with. And what they're saying is that this is not, even though it's just a handful of words, it in fact changes everything in the Constitution. That's their claim. So that's a very interesting argument for them to be making, because what it means is that those of us who are saying that marriage does cover a whole vast array of things within society, that they're basically conceding that point, you know, and saying that if you change the law of marriage, you really are changing a lot of other things. The other feature that is involved in it, Todd, is that part of the California Supreme Court's earlier decision had to do with creating a protected class around homosexual activity. And that protected class has the highest level of protection that's available under law, namely strict scrutiny. So if you treat a same-sex couple differently than an opposite-sex couple, there's almost no reason good enough to defend yourself against a charge of sexual discrimination, given the way that the Supreme Court's decision stands. And so what they're saying is that, your amendment to the Constitution didn't deal with this point at all whatsoever, and implicitly it does, and so therefore it's too big of a revision, and therefore we have to do it all some other way. Well, the fact is, during the campaign, their argument to the public was that this is completely unnecessary, that there's really nothing of any significance here in the Supreme Court's decision. It's no big deal. There won't be any big, substantial, important changes involved here. Just look the other way. Don't slow down. Don't look. Just carry on. And so, you know, again, it appears that there's a complete disconnect between the strategy before the election and the strategy after the election.
What do you know about this gay Bible?
I just read an article about it, and I haven't tracked it too closely. I mean, but the argument is on its face bogus. You know, the person says, well, there are 116 editions of the Bible, so why can't there be one for us? Well, you know, most of those 116 editions of the Bible do not rewrite substantial portions of the Bible. They do not rewrite the story of Genesis to make it so that there were two women in the beginning and no men in the beginning. You know, the 116 different versions of the Bible have to do with different translations and, you know, whether it's a Catholic Bible or whether it's a evangelical Bible or whatever. You know, they do not go through and rewrite whole portions of the Bible to suit a political agenda. So that's again, quite a bogus claim that they're making.
Finally, do you think that this is going to, this kind of, you know, the funny YouTube video with Jack Black and the attempts to recast Christianity as gay friendly, do you think it's going to have any traction with the general public? About 30 seconds here.
You know, what I'm hearing is that it is having traction in the sense that there are church after church after church where the discussion comes up around same-sex, blessing same-sex unions and gay ordination and those issues. The issue continues to come up, and every time it comes up, more and more people are swayed towards the side towards the gay-friendly side. And so it is, in a way, having traction, if only through attrition, just wearing people down.
Folks, you can read Jennifer Roback Morse's blog. Just go to the on-demand page of our website tonight, issuesetc.org. You'll find a link to Jen's blog. Jennifer is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd.
All right, when we come back, we're going to conclude a three-part daily series with Dr. Andrew Doss. We've been talking about baptism. We've talked about baptism and its relationship to Christian salvation. We've talked about baptism and who is a proper recipient, namely all sinners, including infants. And in this last part, coming up after the break, we're going to talk about the modes of baptism. Now, this has been a bone of contention for a long time in the church. Do you immerse? Do you sprinkle? Or is water necessary at all? We'll answer those questions on the other side. What do you believe about the mode of baptism? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151. Or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support as we approach the end of 2008.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making an online gift today, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support.